Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
And welcome to the 409th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, and today on this excellent episode named after a engine cubic centimeter or cubic inch size, famous in the 1960s, immortalized by the Beach Boys. We have the one, the only, the master of them all, R. Sigma.
Hello!
And then we have the thing that I like to carry all of my objects in, Basket.
What's up, Puckle Peeps?
And we're here to bring you another exciting episode on this Thursday evening episode of the Puckle Podcast. I thought we weren't going to have anything to talk about, honestly. I thought we were not going to have anything to talk about, but man, has the week changed. Everything
I was worried about that when the anime stuff leaked early last week, too.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, man, we're not going to have anything to talk about. But I was wrong. But yeah, welcome to the show if you're new. Welcome back if you're old. This is the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name that we came up with in 2007 to describe ourselves because we're totally underground broadcasting ourselves on the internet. And we talk everything from the video game to the trading card game to, I don't know, we talk about everything now. I've been on like a huge anime kick because it makes me happy to see something new and different, but I'm very excited just to talk about everything that's been going on this week. And there's more. I'm very excited for you guys to record next week because I'm going to be absent next week.
Oh, it's going to be exciting with that little rainforest thing.
I am very excited to see what you guys do with that because there's definitely going to be new stuff. I've also been very discombobulated on what day of the week it is recently. And today I thought it was Friday, so I was like looking for updates on like what was coming out. like from the stream that's coming out tomorrow. And I was just like, oh man. I'm just like, why isn't it updating? Why isn't it updating? I'm like, oh yeah, it's Thursday. And I know how many days until my plane leaves. Like that's what the number I know. I don't know what kind of day it is, but I know how many days. So that's my reply to that. Okay, so without further ado, though, how have you guys been? What's been up? Basket, we're gonna start with you. It's been a while, man. Give us an update.
It has been a while.
Give an update on your life and everything.
Well, right now, I bought the Switch Lite when it first came out.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yes, yeah, I freaking love it, dude.
Like, did you get Zelda like a true Switch owner?
I did.
Okay, good.
And that's kind of been what I've been doing.
Dude, when you get that game, it's real bad. Like if you haven't played it, it's real bad because you just get sucked into it. I kid you not. So when it came out originally, March of 2017, I played so much of that game. It was ridiculous. It got to the point because I was still in grad school and I'd walk around campus. And I'd be like, yeah, I could climb that building and then jump off with my paraglider and make it to lunch faster. And I was just like, God. And I'm like, and then I like, it hit me for a second. I'm like, why did I think that? And that's a horribly insane thing to think.
That's funny.
That game's solid though. I love that game.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like all the weird little, things that you can like figure out how to do.
Oh yeah.
It's awesome.
It's such a good game. The one that, I don't know if you've played it on PC or not yet, Basket, the one that, so I have for those of you unaware, I'm going to Japan for vacation next week and that's why I won't be on the show and Sigma/Whimsicott/Sublime are going to handle it for me. And but while I'm on that 14-hour flight, part of my entertainment plan is Stardew Valley.
Ooh.
Because Stardew Valley is like the one game that I know I can honestly get into so hard that like it'll be one of those things where it's just like I will play until I'm physically exhausted.
Yeah, and I've got a bunch of friends that are super into Stardew Valley.
I would suggest it. I mean, have you ever played Harvest Moon?
Yeah.
It's essentially the spiritual successor to a proper Harvest Moon game.
That's cool.
It's very good. I absolutely recommend Stardew Valley. What have you been up to, Sigma?
Lately, I've been playing some Pokemon Masters.
I'm sorry.
It's not that bad. It's just really badly designed. Like, the gameplay is fine, but everything around the gameplay is awful. Like, I think this month, we only get 2 new units somehow.
Oh.
Which is kind of awful sounding.
Like, I just don't know what's making them slow that down is my question, right? Like,
I don't understand it.
How does that
you have so many gym leaders or Cigna suits or anything?
I can't believe they slowed that down so much. That blows my mind to me.
I think I looked into the data mine and it's like this week they added Hilda. 2 weeks from now they add Alessa, and then they're having a Brendan one, which he was in the game already, so it doesn't really it's not very special.
I don't know what's wrong with them. I honestly don't know what's wrong with them.
It's a very poorly run gacha game. But
Joe Merrick, I don't know if we talked about this last week, but Joe Merrick did post something on Twitter recently where he posted the like revenue numbers for Pokemon Masters. And so Pokemon Masters in its first week after launch made $25 million. Wow. In revenue. And that's just like, wow, that's a lot. That's the most out of any game, any Pokemon mobile game minus Pokemon Go. And then he goes, and then for this month, in the first month after release, Pokemon Masters has made $33 million.
Yeah, that makes
sense. So what happened is after the first week, it dropped off hard.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. There is not much going back.
Yeah.
They built so much around multiplayer, but you can't find people doing the multiplayers unless you're doing the events or the new the added missions each week. And so
Exactly. And then I got yelled at for saying this is what was going to happen to the game. And people said, Thatch, you need to accept that this is a new game that's going to be a foundational pillar in the Pokemon franchise. And I go, nuh-uh, good sir, nuh-uh.
I mean, I was a little disappointed when the Play Pokemon account tweeted out something about Masters this week.
Did it really?
I think it did.
Oh, God.
It's like, oh.
That's so
Don't
sad.
Sink so low. Tweet about Go if you're going to tweet about something. This is a low.
At least Pokemon Go is at Worlds. As sad as that was. Granted, you can swipe in different directions now when you're battling. So
yeah,
battling's
slightly
nice.
More dynamic.
So. Slightly.
I mean, considering it wasn't dynamic at all before. So
As for me, I did the Nuzlocke yesterday on Wednesday night. And it was a hoot and a holler. Everybody showed up, had a good time. I would say it was like the best like edge like entertainment value Nuzlocke.
It was filled with excitement and massacres. And
there were definitely deaths. One was like, let's put massacre in quotes, okay?
That unpheasant was very upset with you making fun of Pete.
Yeah, it was. Pete of Iowa.
You guys are spoiling this for me. I'm gonna need you to zip it.
No, you'll see it coming.
You'll see it coming. I'm not telling you. Things did die. We did the fifth gym, and it was actually that went better than expected.
Was it a massacre?
It was not. The gym was not a massacre.
Only one loss.
We had one death, and it was an okay one. It wasn't like so. Like we have like I think we have like three mons that are like party essentials, and one of them being. The most important one being what is now a Magnezone. And so, like, that one hasn't died yet, which is very, very important. And
Vibrava's finally going to do well for us.
Vibrava's still alive, which is crazy. And it's been putting in work. It put in some work against Clay, which I was very, very excited to see. And there was one death. It was very sad.
It wasn't the one that should have died, though.
It wasn't the one that should have... Oh, my gosh. Okay, so, like, I will give, like, a tiny spoiler, because this is all going to go on YouTube very soon.
There was a clip in Discord. It's fine.
There was a clip in Discord about it. So what happened was we're battling Clay, and I didn't do, like, the proper research before we went in like I usually do. And in challenge mode, Clay's got an Onix that has Sturdy but also Explosion. He's got a sturdy explosion onyx, and you're just
we
like,
knew about that though.
Yeah, we knew about
it. We didn't know about the rock polish.
I didn't read about the rock polish because I'm just like, oh, if it just doesn't do it the first time, we're safe. We're in the clear. And so like we hit it with Servine because we're just like, worst case, Servine goes down. And did we really lose anything? And exactly the thought. And so we let Servine
go. I'm only laughing because Sublime's going to wring your neck.
That's fine. That's absolutely
in Japan.
I'll be in Japan when he listens to this. That's fine. And so because Servine was like really a really rough one there. It's just like it's been there's so many times where we're just like, man, if only we had a water type. Like so many times through this, like Oshawott would have been perfect for this playthrough, like 1000%. And so because we don't have a water type, we're playing through this game. And as fun as it is. But yeah, so we use Leaf Tornado on Onyx. And for those of you uninitiated, Leaf Tornado also drops the accuracy of the Pokemon that it hits with it.
Of course, it doesn't have good accuracy.
Of course, that move has like 80% accuracy or some nonsense. I think it's 90.
It's such a bad
move. I think it's 90, but it misses like all the time. And so we hit with Leaf Tornado and we dropped the accuracy of the Onyx. And I made a joke, like an offhand joke, like, wouldn't it be funny if the explosion missed? and then the explosion went off and the explosion missed. And so the Servine didn't die. It was a funnier moment in the Nuzlocke.
Probably would have been fine if it did die.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been mad. I'm not gonna lie.
It's not doing anything again until Marlin.
I'm not gonna lie.
It's fine.
That's true. It's not gonna do anything till Marlin. That's absolutely true.
It's gonna sit in the party and maybe steal.
What's really poopy is like there's no ice types like up until the Dragon Gym. I don't think there's any like ice types that we can really go and grab. Which is really depressing.
I don't think
so,
because they closed off the mountain.
Yeah, they like closed off everything. There might be something, you might be able to go to the giant chasm beforehand and like pick something
up. I think all of them were in the city that's blocked off in the Black 2, White 2.
I think they're all
there. And they're in the mountain that's blocked off in Black 2, White 2.
Yeah, so I think we might be able to go get something. I'm hoping at least. But on that note, check that out on YouTube, youtube.com/PokePodcast. Go get us those Watchmenis, kids. But yeah, we are going to kick it on over to the news.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And on to the news. The news has very little in it that we don't want to talk about here and talk about in the topic later. So in here, we've got Pokemon Go news. First of all, there's a Stardust Blast event going on until October 10th. So this is still relevant by the time you listen to this. You have 2x Capture Stardust, 2x Hatch Stardust, 2x Stardust from Team Rocket Stops, and 2,000 guaranteed Stardust from Raids. Wow. That's a really weird event to be happening, but cool, Pokemon Go.
Hey, Halloween's coming in a week or two.
If you're in New Taipei City, there are a bunch of Pokemon at the Safari Zone event there right now, such as Unknown and Heracross.
It'd be sweet to get a Heracross.
Man, wouldn't it all? We could just go to Florida. Like, we really could. And then just go get it.
Yeah, but who wants to go to Florida? It's nothing but gators.
That's true.
But
all right. Moving on, though, in Pokemon Go, you also have the introduction. Well, not introduction. I'd say the unveiling of three new top Team Rocket characters, I guess. I guess they're admins or members of Arlo, Cliff, and Sierra. And they're interesting. It's different.
That's all we know.
I'm also, we don't know what role they play, anything that's going on. The thing that I find most confusing about that though is that Team Rocket already has named admins and stuff like that, and they chose none of them.
It's fine. Well, no one likes Archer.
Yeah. But also, like, we're missing, like, the golden headline here, which is, Cliff's soul patch is in the shape of a Pokeball.
Oh my gosh, it is.
I've never liked a soul patch in my life, but that is one sick soul patch.
Honestly, I'm okay with that. That is interesting. I didn't notice that about the sub patch. I'm still very confused that they chose none of the Team Rocket admins that already existed. Like, they've been pretty good about making, like, semi-deep digs in Pokemon Go. And this is just one place where I think they kind of dropped the ball. Like, they brought back Shadow Pokemon, which I think is a thing that most, I would say, quote-unquote casual Pokemon fans don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's a cool deep dig to see come back in some style. And then... They just do that kind of stuff all the time where there's just like little like, oh, hey, here's this little thing from the Pokemon universe. And mm-hmm. we respect that. And then they're just like, by the way, we just made up new characters for Team Rocket.
I would have liked to have seen like somebody from Pokemon Coliseum is in here just to link to the Shadow Pokemon. That would have been interesting.
That would have been interesting. I would have
just
been okay
one of them.
That.
And then the other ones are like, yeah, these guys are working on the Shadow Project. That's why we didn't see them before. Because Team Rocket hasn't had Shadow Pokemon in the main games.
That's really cool. Dude, wouldn't that be cool if we just got like a little nudge and like you just see Wes's like character model or something?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really cool. I'd be into that.
And Espeon with those glasses?
Because we're never gonna get a remake of those games, which makes me even sadder on the inside.
If we're
really talking about bringing back like a Pokemon game, and Game Freak wants to do something different, I think they can make so much off of just re-releasing those games. Like, granted, they're not Game Freak games. I will throw that out there. They aren't Game Freak games.
No. Something that I'm super excited about for the new Pokemon games is that it looks like when you fight the gym leaders, it looks and feels like, to me, like playing those games.
The giant
arena with the...
So you're not entirely wrong. Cheering. I do agree with that. I think what these games capture that other games haven't, just because they have the processing power, is that you can have arenas on the outside, right? And I think, honestly, if we think harken back to all of us being children and watching the Pokemon anime, and we just bring back like the first Indigo League episodes... And we think about that, like Ash fighting in a stadium. I think that just resonates really, really well with all of us. And we all want to be like, I want to fight in a stadium. And in Pokemon Coliseum, you literally fought in Coliseums. And even in Pokemon Stadium to an extent, they literally ripped like the anime style arenas, except it was in N64 graphics. I honestly think that some of the battle arenas from the N64 games were some of the most, I don't know. They definitely like took inspiration from the anime, and you can really feel that in those games. One in particular that stands out to me that's not an arena is in Pokemon Stadium 2 when you do like a trainer battle, like when you fight your friend or something like that. It's like on a street.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really cool. I do want to say that Pokemon Revolution kind of missed the mark in terms of their stadiums.
A little bit.
I wasn't a fan of those as much. Granted, I played so much Pokemon Battle Revolution.
How would you guys feel if they sort of like, split the Pokemon franchise into, hey, if you want to play through the game and like meet the new characters and blah, 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 do this, like as a main series, but then they also have like, the arenas for like the more competitive side?
Basket, you're going to have to wait until the topic today, I think.
Yeah, some things were said about that this week.
I think you're going to have to wait for the topic, and we'll explain.
All right. Okay. Well, let's clip this, and we'll just move it over there.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll just think about it.
It's a preview. Don't worry about it.
People will absolutely. All right. Let's see. What is next in the news? I don't think there's actually much else. I'm going to be completely honest. Oh, Shiny Solgaleo and Lunala are available in Europe in select locations that they haven't told everybody about. And, so that's fun and interesting. I'm interested to see when this goes live. Can I get one in Japan and then get it back in my game?
I don't know if they have it in Japan.
I know they're going to have Necrozma in Japan.
Yeah, you have pre-order the game and make an account on a site filled with Krabby right now.
This is very confusing to me. I don't know what the Pokemon company's doing most of the time, and I don't think they do either.
Oh, yeah, the code for Necrozma is also region locked, so
that's poopy.
You'd have to get a Japanese game, too, so not worth it. Even though you can play in English, but
yeah,
still not worth it. Not to get another Ultra Sun and Moon.
And I think the final bit of news is that if you were wondering on the follow up of our Pokemon anime discussion last week, that that Go wants to catch mythical Pokemon and he's Ash's new best friend. And I think that's it.
Oh man,
his name is Go.
Oh man. Oh man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, don't think about it too hard or it's going to make you sad, Basket. It's fine.
Oh.
It's going to make you sad.
It's fine. We have a protagonist with a goal again. A new goal.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm hoping Ash just kind of goes along for the ride and this guy kind of drives. I'm kind of hoping.
Like Ash still has his ambiguous dream of becoming a Pokemon master that doesn't have definition, but this is a pretty definitive goal. So. Yeah,
catch Mew, go. And catch Mew. Let's go. Ha ha. Oh, God.
The sad thing is it's not very special after the current season of Pokemon where people are walking around with shamans in their hands, and Meltans, and yeah.
Yeah, so, and medals, and yeah, it's fine.
It's not as special anymore, but still, you know, goals.
Nobody's caught a Mew yet. I'm very excited to see people actually try to catch legendaries. I'm just very excited to see that.
Yeah, because Ash never tried.
No, because it was always that nonsense of it's not good to catch them. And it's just but wait, I'm very confused now. I feel very, very confused as a 10-year-old playing these games.
It's like Team Rocket wants it, so it can't be good.
Yep.
Can't be good for me to want it, too. It's like, oh. Eh.
All right. On that note, we're going to cut it here, guys. That is all the news that is going on right now. In the Pokemon world since the last time. And if you want to catch up on that, catch up next week. There's going to be more. But in the meantime, we're going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. That means no internet. You just got to use what's in your heads, as insane as they are, because that's the tagline. And these guys are going to be operating as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that I'm just randomly pulling out of our Discord today, because Thatch doesn't know them all off the top of his head today. and because it's a Thursday night, and Thatch has been very busy getting ready for vacation. It's the typical week before vacation where you end up doing a week and a half worth of work all before you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so we're going to do that. They're going to operate as a team for a possible total of 7 questions or 7 points out of these 5 questions, because one of these questions is going to have a bonus point. And if they don't use their lifeline, which is a hint, they can go ahead and cash it in at the end for a possible total of 7 points. This segment is brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, where you can pick up a bunch of cool anime and just nerd art. If you're into Pokemon, Dungeons and Dragons, literally anything that Thatch is into, minus maybe Power Rangers, I should ask them to make a Power Rangers design. And I don't even know that I'm into Power Rangers. I just know about Power Rangers, which is it's like an orca whale thing. Regardless, you can go over to AnimeGravy.com, get all these cool things. These guys are fantastic. I love them. These two guys are going to be competing for $20 of Tee Public credit. First person to 30 points, it gets it. Nobody is close, so you guys are jockeying for position today. Depending on how well you do, Sigma can get to first place.
Yeah.
So we got that going for us. All right. So let's go ahead and let's pull one out of the hat here, guys.
All right. Okay.
P. McGee asks you, what is the only non-flying type Pokemon capable of learning fly by level up? This is apparently a thing that I only learned now.
Huh.
That's...
So until you said level up, I was thinking Flygon, but...
There's a lot of Pokemon that learn fly that aren't flying types. Golurk comes to mind. But I will give you a free hint on this one because it's really hard and I didn't know it until I read it. This is a Gen 7 Pokemon.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's probably no Celesteela's a flying type.
Gen 7. Okay.
It would make sense since that's when they removed fly as an HM, though it was still a TM in the game.
Man,
it's also the other type is it's dual type and one of the types is normal.
If only that helped.
There are only 80 Pokemon. I hope it would help.
It can't be Beware. Pickaback stays fly.
Oh no. Never mind. I'm sorry. I made all that noise for nothing.
I can't imagine it's a Rangaroo. We're going through the normal
type. I was thinking it was one of the legendaries, but I don't think.
No, those are just psychics. Shouldn't be any of the UBs. None of them were normal. Shouldn't be any of the legendaries. Those were, apart from Silvally, not normal. Not Beware. Not a Rangaroo.
This Pokemon's so forgettable. I can't believe how forgettable it is.
Okay, so
you'd use it on a Trick Room team because it's an Alolan Pokemon, so like I don't know what to tell you.
That doesn't even help. They're all usable on Trick Room teams.
Yeah. Welcome to Gen 7.
I don't think it would be an Alolan Pokemon either, because I don't think
it's not Alolan forms. It's no Alolan forms.
Okay.
This is a Gen 7 Pokemon. Normal type. It has a second type as well.
Yeah. Oh.
It had an episode with Malo in the anime.
Oh my, wait, is this?
It can't be a Rangaroo. It can't be. Oh.
Is this,
I think you know what you're, I know, I think I know what you're saying, Basket.
Well, I can't, cause I remember it has it, but is this Drampa?
Oh my god, it might be. Sure. That's like probably the last normal type we haven't thought of.
Okay. Okay. Drampa.
Drampa is correct. That only took three minutes.
That is a
question.
I guess a Pokemon.
All right. Also from P. McGee, your second question. Of all multi-generational evolutionary lines, which Pokemon...
I'm sorry. It was the combination of Forgettable and Trick Room.
I forgot it.
Of all of the multi-generational evolutionary lines, which Pokemon family has the shortest gap between Pokedex entries in the national Dex? Which two numbers are closest for multi-generational evolutions?
All right.
This is... I have no clue.
Wobbuffet's about 100.
I will tell you the number that they are far apart. They are 63 apart.
All right. Yeah, Wobbuffet should be about 100. So let's close in closer than that. Scyther's kind of close. That's 120 something to 211 something. That's 90 still.
You're getting hotter.
Man.
Pokemon late in a Dex that evolves and becomes a Pokemon earlier in a Dex. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah. Let's see. Roselia's probably also close to that 100 number, sadly. What else is early on in the, like, Sinnoh Dex and late, very late in the Hoenn Dex?
How far away is
it? Might be
Blossom.
Blossom is pretty far. Eevee's somewhat close. It goes from, like, 130-something to 190-something for Espeon Umbreon. It could be Eevee.
Let's do that, because I'm...
That way we don't take up too much time.
Eevee is correct.
Nice.
There you guys go. 2 points.
He said it was 60-ish. So, yeah.
60-ish. It's 63. Eevee is 133 and Espeon is 63. Or 196.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to scroll, find some trivia here. Okay. From Farmer Fox. How many Pokemon lines from Generation 1 have not had an evolution, pre-evolution, mega evolution, or regional variant? And I am going to give you a plus or minus one on this.
Okay.
Plus or minus one?
Yeah, because the number's not that high.
All right, so let's start off with Caterpie.
Surprisingly. Well, they obviously you have to just like take all of this single evolution lines in the game and then figure out which ones haven't been tampered with.
Oh, it's all the single.
Yeah, so any Pokemon that has never had an evolution, pre-evolution, and mega evolution or original variant.
That is an interesting question.
Okay, so there's Tauros.
There is Tauros.
There's, oh man.
There is Tauros.
Mr. Mime? Jinx? No.
They have babies.
Oh.
Aerodactyl has a mega. Does Mew count?
That is a Generation 1 Pokemon, yes.
Okay, oh. Okay. So Mew, Mewtwo.
The birds. No, Mewtwo got Megas, so.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so the birds.
The birds did not get Megas.
Snorlax?
Got a baby.
Oh, I keep forgetting about the babies.
Yeah.
I'm always forgetting about the babies.
So we're at 5.
Mm-hmm.
Lapras.
Chansey has Happiny.
Yep. Tangela has one.
So are we at 7?
Yeah, it might be okay with just adding one and to what
are
we have.
Are
right
we
now.
At 7 right now?
I thought we were at 5. We have the birds, we have Mew, we have Tauros, we have Lapras. For now. We have Lapras for now. So
yeah,
let's
Yeah, so let's
So wanna say 7? Just for yeah. a plus minus one?
Yeah, let's do that.
7 is the correct number. Right on the nose. The one you were missing was Ditto.
Oh sure.
Ugh.
It had an evolution Stupid. At one point too.
You guys are 3 for 3. That should have been a Pokedex question, a Pokedex question, but I don't have one. So moving on, the next one what is it called?
Bonus.
The bonus. So this one has 4 possible answers. You only need to give me 2 possible answers.
Oh no.
Because it's pretty hard.
Oh no.
Because I can only find so many questions. Blame P. McGee.
Okay.
So we're going to go back to the concept of fly.
Oh no.
As of Generation 7, what are the only 4 types to have no Pokemon capable of learning fly without a flying dual type? There are 4 types. You only need to give me 2, 1 for each point. If you want to get the other 3, go ahead. I don't care.
So if they have a flying dual type, they don't count towards this category.
No.
So a Golurk counts for ghost and ground.
Yes.
Is essentially how this
yes,
works.
Yes, that's okay. How this works.
Okay.
So it wouldn't be ghost or ground.
All right.
There are 4 types. You only need to give me, what's it called? Also, you learn today Drampa gets it. So like, there you go. There's two more for free.
There's normal and dragon too.
There's 2 for free. So that's, you knocked out 4 out of the 18 already.
We have 14 more to.
Well, for that 14, 10 more technically.
We get to ignore flying.
And are these ones that can't like learn it through level up or just can't learn it period? Like
No, just can't learn it period.
Okay. So
unless there's a flying type associated with that type.
Okay. So then I would say rock.
Let's try to think through it. I would be okay with that. We could use the hint.
you guys are 3 for 3 right now. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, and I'm thinking because
you only need to give 2 types. You only need to give 2 types.
Yeah, we only need to get 2.
Yeah. I've got 1. Because Aerodactyl's rock and flying. Mm-hmm. I can't think of any other rocks that
might be able to fly.
Yeah. Bug. No, I'm just kidding.
Bugs, I think, are probably the easiest ones to say. Yeah, those probably fly.
No, I know it was a joke because like there's always bug flying types.
Poison as well, probably.
Poison. I can't think of any. Well,
I feel like maybe Beedrill can fly. I don't know. Actually, no. Beedrill probably can't fly, but I'm sure there is a poison type that can.
Naganadel? That one might be able to fly.
Sure. Let's try to think of other types that probably can't. Steel?
What about ground?
Ground, I feel like Flygon probably flies. I would be very disappointed to find out that Flygon does not learn to fly.
Oh, that's right.
That would be really depressing.
It doesn't matter because we have Golurk. Ground isn't even in the answers.
Oh, gotcha.
Dark?
Hmm.
Trying to think of dark levitators. Do you want to guess rock first or right now? Guess, put rock in.
Rock is correct. Rock is one of
okay.
them. Rock is one. So I need one more.
You want to try dark?
Yeah, let's do dark.
I'll give you four guesses though, because there are.
Oh,
four.
All right. We can.
Okay.
So dark is incorrect. Hydreigon exists.
Oh yes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Steel could make sense. Fire. I would imagine something propels itself with fire. So, but maybe not. Oh wait. Technically, I guess Mega Charizard exists. So should get rid of fire somehow.
Yeah.
I think that gets rid of fire. Grass, maybe?
Maybe, yeah. I think that might be.
Would you like to lock in grass?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grass is correct.
Okay.
That's cool. Two. So the other two that you guys were missing were water and fighting.
Huh. Well, I thought water would have found something.
P. McGee puts in for now, but I would like to remind P. McGee that we have not yet seen if there is or not a Galarian Farfetch'd. And then, end quote. But moving on then, that gives you guys, are 5 for 4. Let's hit them out of the park here. Yeah. So next one is the base stat question. And let's see. Oh my gosh, they didn't actually give me a base stat question. So I'm going to go ahead and pull the list up, and I'm just going to pick for you live list of Pokemon by base stat.
Stay out of ground. I think those were 2 weeks in a row of ground.
It was 2 weeks in a row. So you know what? Because
it was not the same stat.
It was not the same stat. And because you asked so nicely, what is the ground type Pokemon with the lowest base attack?
Oh,
lowest base attack.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Sandygast again. I wouldn't be surprised.
Finding it is actually very difficult. I haven't found it yet. I'm going to be completely honest. I have not found it yet.
What are some other thoughts you have, Basket?
There could be a tie for all I know.
I don't think there are any baby ground types to worry about. And most ground types are usually physically attacking anyway.
So. Oh, I found it. Okay, right. I found it.
That's why I kind of land.
There is no tie. There is no tie.
There is not a tie. All right.
I'm going to double check this because Vulpedia usually puts the trivia at the bottom, and I want to make sure I didn't miss anybody. No, it is correct. I found it.
Oh.
It is surprisingly high. It is a base 40, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Wow, it might be Sandygast. I wouldn't be surprised if that were Sandygast's attack stat.
You have a low opinion of Sandygast, my friend.
It's a special attacker. It hits hard with Shadow Ball and Earth Power.
Yeah, but nobody likes sand in their eyes.
Pocket sand.
Yeah, like other special attacking ground types. It's like maybe it's Shellos. No, Shellos isn't even a ground type. It's just a pure water.
Yeah, a lot of Pokemon just get ground type. Like, that's the thing.
It could be Wooper again.
I'm not going to tell you what this is.
No, it could be Wooper. Poor thing.
I'm going to need an answer.
I mean, I'm willing to go with Wooper. That sounds like a pretty viable option.
I feel like Sandygast more likely, but yeah, it's your choice.
I'm going to go Wooper.
Wooper is unfortunately incorrect. It is the second lowest, though, if it makes you feel better.
Oh.
A little.
There is one lower, and it is Baltoy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man.
I figured it wasn't that high, but I thought maybe it was like 50.
Yeah, it is 40. It's nutsos. All right. But that gives you guys 5 points today, and that shakes up the leaderboard because we have like a three-way tie in one area here, which is crazy in and of itself, I think. So we're going to sort the columns. In first place, we have Sigma with 10 points.
Nice.
Followed up by a three-way tie between Whimsicott, Seth Vilo, and Sublime with 9 points. after that, in fifth place, we have Dr. Shamu with 8 points. Jushiro and Basket are tied in sixth place with 5 points. Scrawn's bringing up the rear with 4 points, and Linian has yet to get on the board. I think he's coming up soon. With that, though, that is this episode of Puckle's Poke Quiz. We are going to take a short break, and we're going to go hit you up at the topic. We will catch you on the flip-flop.
Hey, guys. I'm here to bring you a very special iTunes review. It's invisible. I'm not making it up. It's just on the Italian iTunes store, because it was left by my fellow Italian Nico, who says, "Best Pokemon podcast." A few months ago, I was looking for a good Pokemon podcast to listen to. I tried a few, and I was left disappointed. One day, I tried Puckle, and I was hooked. The cast feels friendly and know what they're talking about. The episodes have a good structure, and each section of the podcast is very enjoyable. I love to play the weekly quiz myself. This is the Pokemon podcast that I would recommend to anybody. Grazie, Nico. We really appreciate that. And I would ask everyone else who appreciates Puckle and hasn't reviewed us yet to do so. We love hearing your reviews and knowing what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, what we're doing absolutely amazing. I think I should leave you guys to the topic now. See you soon!
And Welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be all this Game Informer stuff that's come out in like the past 2 days. So much stuff came out. They got an exclusive interview with Game Freak. I think they did something very similar like back around this time last year, actually, where they were they're trying to hype up Let's Go, but they end up just asking them questions about this game instead. And it was very disappointing, the buildup and then launch. Because these interviews contain some things that I think all Pokemon fans can determine are good features and bad features, if that makes sense. Like, it's things that people want and things that people don't want, and I think both of them can have different sides. It's not just, like, something like the national decks. I think it's more of those, like, that's annoying type deals. Mm-hmm. There's just so much. So what we're going to be referencing today are a bunch of articles on GameInformer.com/Pokemon. You can go over there and take a look. We'll put a link in the description of the show notes. Hopefully whoever posts this episode does that. And it's going to be great. So let's get into it. So the first thing that I want to get into, because it's probably going to be like the saddest thing and I want to end on a happy note, is that Pokemon Sword and Shield are going to have experience share baked in. There is not going to be an experience share item, which is sad. To be fair, I don't think I've gone through a Pokemon game with it turned off, but I like having the option, if it makes sense, right? Like, the thing is, like, I know there are other people who are just like, man, the game's too easy with the experience share on. Granted, I think that's true for something like Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, where they didn't redesign the game to incorporate the experience share.
That was an experience.
I think that one was particularly bad. I think X and Y was better paced with it.
I honestly feel like X and Y, like, man, by the time I was doing a Nuzlocke, and by the time I got to the fourth gym, it was just like, what is this?
I think Sun and Moon did a lot better with it, though, because they added the Gen 5 experience back, where if you're higher level, you get less experience from the same Pokemon.
I'm kind of okay with that, though, and that's probably the same thing that we're going to get in Sword and Shield as well. And
it does better with balancing out the XP, which you don't get too much more powerful than anything around you if you do grind up. So,
yeah, you're absolutely correct. But yeah, that's the one thing that I think is probably, I'm going to say, most quote-unquote controversial. It's not really that. Mm-hmm. It's not really that controversial. It doesn't make me that sad, but I know I can definitely see people not being happy about that in particular.
It would make me super sad as a Nuzlocker if I can't take it off. Like, that's
so. I think that
that's going to be a super.
I
bummer.
Think the problem with Nuzlockes, though, especially as of right now and like where Pokemon is, in my personal opinion at least, is that. With the Pokemon being shown in the overworld, I think the art of Nuzlocking is dead. I think in older Pokemon games, that makes more sense.
Wait, are they all going to be doing
that? So they said it was going to be like a mix, like the wild area throughout the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's going to be a mixture of both Pokemon being in the overworld and a chance for randoms. And I think just having the Pokemon in the overworld, though, kind of just spoils the idea of a Nuzlocke, though, in my opinion.
You close your eyes and walk into the grass.
I guess, but like that's not as entertaining,
No, you're right.
I thought
it was just that area that they were roaming in the overworld.
They said something during these interviews where they made it sound like it was going to be a mixture wherever you went. Now, granted, we're going to get into it later. It does seem like a lot of things from this interview got retconned. due to mistranslation. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was another one that was just like, it slipped in there and nobody really noticed or cared. Mm-hmm. That's probably the number one thing right now. So let's get into the thing about the retconning. So it was stated that Pokemon Sword and Shield was going to have 18 gyms. It took them 2 days, but the Pokemon company said, nah, that's not what's going on. Because literally 2 months ago, they said there's only 8 gyms in Pokemon Sword and Shield. And so what they meant was they had this concept of there being 18 gyms in like theory, and that the Pokemon gyms are shuffling in out of a major and a minor league. And that's why in Pokemon Sword, you have different gym leaders than in Pokemon Shield, because it's like it's a different year essentially in the major and minor league. And there's a different gym in the major league that year. It's literally
lore exploration.
That is their lore explanation, which is, I think, it didn't need require lore. And Pokemon is very good about having lore for some reason. Like, that's the one reason I think they're good. Like, they're very good at what they do, is they are very good about keeping their lore.
It's really interesting for them to go out and say that there are 18 gyms, and that even if every gym is different in these games, you still only get 16. So I'm suspecting there's a reason for that number.
You had an interesting theory in between the show, which I thought was very plausible.
Yeah. So right now we know that at the end game, there's a Champions Cup, which is said to be a tournament to find the new champion.
That makes sense.
And that sounds like this is going to be the replacement for the Elite Four. So if you're going to still have four battles before the championship battle with the champion, you'd want 16 people in said tournament. Right now we have three rivals and yourself to equal four. But if there are 10 minor gym leaders that are also competitors in this, that would raise your total up to 14 characters that are competing in something like this. And like we just watched in your Nuzlocke the other night, they have done brackets before.
They've done done brackets, but I would like to point out that it's only ever the cool, crazy anime hair kids that end up making it all the way through.
Which is why we put like the 10 minor gym leaders in there instead of like youngster Joey or Tristan. I believe Tristan was the championship battle. It would just be the next it would be like the next evolution of the championship battles from Sun and Moon, but instead like the entire Elite Four is randomized.
I like that.
And I think that could be
I think that's an interesting concept. It would give more replayability to the Champions League part, because like you can do the Elite Four multiple times, right? And grind through that. I think that's probably interesting.
Because when the news first came out, everyone was super excited to be like, "Hey, cool, we get to battle 18 gyms." It's like, why? That's not a good thing.
That was my thought. I was just like, all I remember is playing the demo. At the end of the demo, when you beat Nessa, you get your gym badge. I'm putting badge in quotes because it looks like it's just going into like an emblem. They're just like puzzle pieces of an emblem. And she goes in there and I'm just like, okay, cool. There's no way I'm fitting 18 pieces in there. I'll tell you that much.
I mean, you could probably fit a ring on the outside of the other ones if they wanted to go that way. But
yeah, but
there's no reason to fight the minor gym leaders in the post game. Exactly. And if you fight them during the game, that just sounds like horrible pacing. So I didn't see that to be the case.
My thought when I first saw that was, oh my God, there's going to be like, we're going to be going back somewhere was what I thought. Like when I saw that many gyms, that's exactly where my mind went.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You were disappointed.
No, that's the, cause they say it's all in Galar. So unless it's like the Northern Ireland DLC pack.
That's not happening.
With four more gyms.
That would be funny. And
That would be very political and probably shouldn't happen. Especially right now. Like, right now is not a good time to do that.
You're right. You're right, but this doesn't need to enter into my Pokemon. I can have a fun romp in Ireland with my Pokemon.
I think the biggest thing that came out of here that we were kind of stopping you from going into too much earlier today, Basket, was that they announced that there was going to be a way to adjust personality parameters in Pokemon Sword and Shield. And they say that the intention is to be able to take your first starter Pokemon and have it become competitively viable in competitive Pokemon. Huh. And it looks like they're coming up with a bunch of ways to get around breeding so that you can just make good Pokemon.
Yeah, and like Linian would be upset if we didn't say breeding is confirmed now.
Breeding is confirmed. But, that is true. So like I do know people just enjoy that part of Pokemon, which is more power to them, especially because breeding has more than competitive reasons to exist. One, because then you can finally actually get Tyrogue and we don't have to worry about Hitmontop being locked. second is that we can, you can all, like, the Masuda method exists in breeding where you can get a shiny Pokemon. And I don't know, like, if they took that out of Pokemon, I would just be like, Masuda, you have lost your way. Like, I would just 100% drop it. Be like, you're making things like that are that special to the community that they named it after you. The community named it after him. He didn't name it after himself.
Yeah.
And then you're just going to throw it in the trash. I feel like that'd be a big slap in the face to the Pokemon community. Like the hardcore community, not the casual community. Because the casual community probably doesn't know what's called the Masuda method. and stuff like that. But I am happy to see that breeding is confirmed to be back.
Yeah, Linian would be upset if we didn't mention it.
I'm also very happy though to see that they're just like yeah, get rid of this bar of entry into the Pokemon into competitive Pokemon.
It's like, wow, this is kind of awful. We should just throw it away.
I love that they did that though, and the cool way is I do expect them to do it in a way that's not like immersion breaking either.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
like the curry, maybe.
Yeah, it's probably the curry. Yeah. I mean, we have a whole like list of 100 and some curries or whatever, and the curries are probably gonna be like, oh, it's gonna set the nature to this. Oh, it's gonna set the IVs to this. Oh, it's gonna put your EVs to this.
It'll set your hidden power.
Yeah, exactly.
Hidden power fairy to deal with the evil Hydreigon menace. It'll be great.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen, but
I think it could happen. Give us the hidden power fairy.
I don't think hidden power fairy will exist in that way.
Unless it doesn't matter because most things get like dazzling gleam. Anyway,
yeah, I don't think hidden power fairy is ever going to happen. I hope it doesn't. Just like hold on to some of the old Pokemon for me, please. Like just because honestly, these games are becoming like a huge paradigm shift just in the Pokemon community themselves. Because in the interview, they did say something about how they want to focus on gameplay more than they wanted to focus on adding all of the Pokemon in. Granted, we have heard very different speech like from release cycle to release cycle.
Yeah.
And I find that to be very interesting. Because I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I feel like it would be dropping the ball if they came out with a game in 2021, which is their 25th anniversary, that didn't have a good chunk of the Pokedex in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also still expect there to be a ton of Pokemon in this game as well. They didn't ask them how many Pokemon were going to be in this game, which I found a little frustrating.
They tried. I did watch the 101 questions and they tried.
So they did do a video for those of you, unaware on the Game Informer website. You can go find it there. Where they did a 101 questions. Granted, I think 4 of them were just like, how are you? And then they do try to ask them like the hard hitting questions, but each time they said no comment. So I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't something that was in the works because we speculated about this before, where the Pokemon will come in like maybe at the new, like when they do a new engine, like, yes, they're all of the Pokemon or probably at the beginning of every generation. Honestly, at this point, there's going to be a game without all of the Pokemon in it because we want to focus on putting in new gameplay. And then when they do a re-release for the game in some fashion, whether that be Ultra Sword, Ultra Shield or something of that sort, they go, hey, we finished the models. Let's just dump them all in. Right. And I think it would be stupid for them to do otherwise. Right. Because at that point, you're just intentionally holding out. And I don't think that's appropriate for the fan base or for... I just don't think it's good for you in general. Because they admitted themselves that they couldn't find a Pokemon that they didn't think people liked during the same interview.
Yeah, because they were asked, what Pokemon would you remove?
And they're just like, well, we didn't think anybody liked Caterpie, but then we put out Caterpie plushes, and then they all sold out. And we don't understand what's happening. We really don't understand. And... So it's a really interesting interview in that sense. Like they are aware that every Pokemon is somebody's favorite. Like they are aware of that fact, which I found very interesting. It's been an interesting week in Pokemon, let me tell you.
And it's not even over.
It's not over. That's true. That is absolutely true. There's not much else going on though. I don't think, that's most of the things they covered. They did say that they did give us more insight into max raid battles.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that max raid battles are just projections, like that's why Dynamax Pokemon get so big. Which is very confusing. But they also say Sword and Shield's max raid battles could be among the Pokemon's most challenging encounters. They say that they're going to be quote unquote hard.
Sure, we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. I mean,
they look like they have the potential because some of the abilities that the max raid bosses get look like they're a pain in the butt to deal with.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's kind of like totem Pokemon plus some, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Multiplayer totem Pokemon.
It's multiplayer.
It has potential.
It's multiplayer totem Pokemon on steroids. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see the... I don't know. This is the one thing that I am very excited for in Pokemon Sword and Shield. This is the one thing that I 1,000% think they did correctly. Because the one thing Pokemon has been lacking for the longest time, and I said this when they announced this, is that they have been missing out on a cooperative Pokemon experience.
Mm-hmm.
And this is 1000% the way to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I would be lying if I wasn't excited for launch day to be like, hey, Sigma, let's go do a raid battle. And like, I'm so excited for that. That is the one thing I'm super excited for, is just to be able to stream. Like, when we're on stream, we can do things other than player battles. We can go do max raid battles and like go try to catch it. That sounds like so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Especially with
that would be kind of cool.
Hidden ability, Corviknight being locked behind that with Gigantamaxing too.
That's true. I'm really okay with that though. Like with the hidden ability, like the one thing that I'm really okay with is like rare hidden abilities and stuff.
We'll see. The fact that I'm hoping it is attainable though, because it sounds kind of terrible if it's super hard to get.
So they've said Pokemon at once. So it depends on a couple of things. One, how frequent raid battles are. Mm-hmm. And then,
I think they rotate daily, don't they?
Yeah, well, it depends on like how often they quote unquote respawn. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, let's say we do find a Corviknight raid battle, right? You and I go and we do it, we beat it. Oh man, it doesn't have its hidden ability, but it's a Gigantamax one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you and I decide, and then we're just like, man, we'd like to try that again so we can try it. I would love for us to be able to go in there and try it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And be like, oh man, let's re-roll the dice. And then we just grind it out.
Yeah.
I want that to be possible. I don't want that to be locked behind a time of day.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like,
yeah, that would be pretty cool.
I want there to be a way for us to go like, yeah, let's go grind this out and get this done. Kind of like how you can do in other cooperative games like Destiny and stuff like that, where you can go do missions together. And you can just grind them out.
The mission for the loot.
That's what I'm hoping they can do. Like maybe we only have a day to do this Corviknight.
Until it rotates to Steelix.
Yeah, until it rotates to Steelix or something. And that's something
like,
that
no, it's as well as.
And that's what I'm okay with. I'm really okay with that. I would like to see I still would like to see them patch in everything, because I think this is an awesome mechanic to do that. That's a missed opportunity on their end. That, like I said, this is probably the thing I am most excited for in Pokemon Sword and Shield. Like 1000%.
I am looking forward to that. And designing a trainer card too, that's going
to
be fun.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's literally the better way to do what's it called? PR videos from X and Y.
Oh, those were so much work to look.
That's
so
the problem.
Terrible.
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem. Like they're just like, oh, you can have this awful, really cool thing. And then it's just like, oh, here's a simpler version.
Yeah, it's like, here, you just need a flat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Service, one. And you get to be so expressive, and I am looking forward to that.
Oh,
customization looks
good. The other thing is, and this is super minor, this is the one thing we haven't talked about yet that has been announced. Autosave is in the game, but it can be turned off, unlike experience share. What an odd, like, they wrote an entire article on this. How do you write 5 paragraphs on autosave? Like, yep, you can autosave.
Well, I mean, soft resetting is kind of important, so.
It depends. It's nice. I think it's going to be.
It's less important now that we can change natures, but, you know.
Yeah, I think it's going to be less important as of now. I think for shiny hunting, it's going to be semi-important.
See, I'm waiting for, like, the...
But even then, like, autosaves are going to do what? They're going to save, like, right in front of the Pokemon, not as you battle them, right?
No, the thing is saving after the fact. If you catch it and find out, like, it doesn't have the right hidden power.
I think that's horrible, though, because, like, you could probably change it. Like, we're probably at the point where we can just change it.
But in the article,
that would be really funny to me if they gave you the option to turn it off, but if it was, on and always saved after.
Yeah.
So one of the quotes in that article, though, that kind of scares me is it's talking about the NES having a dedicated reset button, but the Switch not having it. So it's a bit more complicated of a process to restart the game. So it sounds like we're still not getting the soft reset button combination back is what I'm worried about.
I'm not. So I'm not super upset about that. But first of all, I'm not somebody who's going to soft reset. I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm not the person that's going to soft reset. So the amount of cares I give are pretty low.
I felt bad for the shiny hunters in Let's Go that had to go through those
the game menu every single time. Yeah.
Like X out of the game, start up the game again. Let's go fight Mewtwo.
Oh, wow. Oh,
nope. X out of the game again. That sounds awful.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that you can have it on Switch. Fire Emblem has the reset button code.
It does. So it does.
I don't know why it wasn't in Let's Go. I assumed it just didn't work on the Switch, and then it's like...
Well, I imagine... So Let's Go, I think, is its own thing. Because Let's Go, I think a lot of us who played it can argue that it is an unfinished game. Like, there are plenty of places where the polish just isn't there. Granted, it looks like they're adding that polish to Sword and Shield, which is fine by me. But like the biggest offender will and always will be the shadows on all the wild Pokemon, just all of those shadows. Go look at them; they're like 6 pixels. And then the other thing is, we always had like the party sprites, and they have those party sprites in Let's Go, but if you pay attention to them, they're all in the Pokedex. You'll notice that some of them are still the old ones, but a lot of them got updated to like higher resolution ones, which was really weird, but it's not any like sequence or pattern. It's just random Pokemon got it. Just like random ones.
It's hilarious.
They didn't even come up with all of them. Like it was, and there's a definite difference between the resolution of the old ones and the resolutions of the new ones. And, and you can tell. And so it is just really weird to me that that's what happened. I don't know though. That's just where I am with that. But
yeah,
I think that's where I'm okay with ending it. I think we covered everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to take a short break here, guys, and we're going to be right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. I bet you guys weren't expecting a new Puckle Tea Public commercial. Well, guess what? You're wrong. We got some new art, though, up on the store. You guys can check out the Grookey Gang shirt, join Team Sobble, or even the Score Bunny Squad. You could also get an awesome More Peko Don't Make Me Hangry shirt all over at the Tea Public store. The link is always in the show notes. And of course, you can always just Google Puckle Tea Public store to get there. Anything you buy there helps us out. We dump it all back into the show just to give you a better auditory experience. Grab this Team Break shirt. Actually, it's pretty tempting, I'm not going to lie. And also, yeah, just go over there. Just do it now. Get a Galarian Weezing shirt. Feel like a sir. And yeah, so let's kick it on over to the poke of the episode. To the Pokemon of the episode. The Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 766, Passimian, the Teamwork Pokemon.
The Pokemon Sun Pokedex entry states, they form groups of roughly 20 individuals. Their mutual bond is remarkable. They will never let down a comrade.
You know what? Passimian could use a what's it called? An evolution. It could actually use one of those. Like, it would be a useful thing to use it for. Passimian's not a terrible Pokemon, though.
It has a 490 base stat total.
Yeah, that's not bad. It could get a 600 one.
It's a Primate level Pokemon. It's fine.
Honestly, it's not bad, though. Base 80 speed, base 120 attack, base 100 HP, 90 defense. Its special attack and special defense are not great at 40 and 60, respectively, but like it's fantastic. It's in NU right now, for those of you unaware. And it's also... I mean, it's one of the best Pokemon in NU. I feel like if you're playing NU, there are a couple of staples. Passimian, I think Incineroar is still down there, and Steelix. Those three are, like, the big ones. Those are the big Pokemon in NU. We have a team today with Passimian on it. Passimian's shiny Pokemon is also the best one if you're a Bears fan like myself. It is orange and blue. Not quite the proper navy blue, but it's orange and blue. So if you're a patron, you can be a Bears fan with Thatch. Thatch is also behind like 5 Pokemon on the shiny giveaways and is about to leave the country. So please don't hate him. I'm going to see if Orange can do a couple of them while I'm away. And we're going to see if we can get a couple of those knocked out. If not, we're going to have just like a marathon of like 2 weeks of Pokemon shiny giveaways when Thatch gets back from Japan on the 15th of October. All right, so let's get into this team, though. So we have Passimian with a Choice Scarf, because that's how you run Passimian. We're going to be running not Receiver on it, which is on a lot of PokePace, but rather Defiant, its hidden ability, because it makes it that much better. Knock Off is actually pretty prevalent in NU. I would say if you're in NU, you're probably playing against a team with at least two to three knockoff users. And so knockoff, you're going to get, if you make the right switch, you get an attack boost from Defiant, which
no,
makes
Bissinian
even, it's not, it's what?
Defiant is the one that,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm thinking Justified. Oh my gosh.
No, it's better than that.
It's better than that.
It's better.
If there's an Intimidate, such as Incineroar, you can get an attack boost, which is even better. And
Defog, same way.
Yeah, Defog, also the same way. So, yeah, you can go ahead, 252 attack, 252 speed. This is just going to be a fast boy. And with that jolly nature, you're going to close combat, U-turn, knock off, and gunk shot. This is standard Passivian. 1,000% standard Passivian.
Comes in, U-turns, yep, and sometimes blows things up.
And you're just like, man, but those psychic and flying type Pokemon are super scary to my Passivian. And you'd be right. So who do you have covering him? You've got none other than Alolan Sandslash. This set has Slush Rush, which I'm not sure is the best ability since there's no Hail Setters on this team.
It's okay. The other is like Snow Cloak. So
yeah, that's true. It's Slush, and honestly, I think Vanellix is in this tier, actually.
I think Mega Abomasnow just came back to the tier too.
Yeah, and so there are possibilities for Hail Setting, just like setting up on you, and you can use Slush Rush to your advantage. This is a bulkier Alolan Sandslash with 252 HP, 252 Special Defense, 4 Attack, Careful Nature. He's your Stealth Rock Setter with Stealth Rock, Toxic, Rapid Spin, and Knockoff. Another Knockoff boy. Sigma, go ahead. Tell us about some more guys.
All right. So next up, let's look at a Seismitoad. It's an offensive Seismitoad for this team.
It's so cool, though.
I wasn't expecting this. I usually expect the Stealth Rocks on the Seismitoad. So anyways, we have Seismitoad here.
Yeah, I like this guy.
It's going to be Water Absorb ability, 212 HP, 200 attack, and 96 speed. Adamant nature, we have Substitute, Earthquake, Power Up Punch, and Ice Punch.
So for those of you at home that are curious about those EVs, the EVs are 1-4 to allow it to outspeed Assault Vest Slowbro, which is no longer in the tier, but it bounces around so often that it might be. And the HP also allows it to take 2 Nightshades with the Substitute. Keep that in mind. That's all it's for. It's just making sure it can take the proper hits.
Poor Seismitoad. It doesn't have a good physical water attack.
Yeah. It also outspeeds, I think. It lures things in like Torterra and Exeggutor while it can take them out with its Ice Punch.
Ice Punch. Boom. Gone. Like it.
Yeah. It's a fun set.
Next, let's talk about Heliolisk. It's going to be a nice special sweeper for us. It's going to hold the Choice Specs item and have the ability Dry Skin to give it immunity to water Pokemon attacks.
It's so good.
Right? I'm so happy it's in Sword and Shield. Anyways, its EVs are 4 defense, max special attack, max speed, timid nature. We have Volt Switch, Hyper Voice, Thunderbolt, and Surf.
Yeah. Basket, take us home with these last two guys.
Alrighty, so we have Delphox with Leftovers, ability Blaze. I honestly don't know its other ability and if it's any better than that.
I think it's Magician, and it's not.
Okay, well then we can just stick with Blaze. And then EVs, 240 in HP, 124 in defense, and 136 in speed. We've got it with a Timid Nature.
That's outspeeding something specific that I don't know what it is. I'm looking
it up. Yes, I don't know what it is either, but it seems to be a very defensive set with Wish, Protect, Mystical Fire, and Toxic. So looking to do a little harassing and healing.
That is not a standard set anywhere.
I didn't think it was.
There is a set that's Timid that only runs 228 speed. But that's only because it wants 28 special attack EVs to be able to 2-hit KO Zatu with Mystical Fire after Stealth Rock.
I assume it's here to outspeed something that's like 90-ish base speed.
Probably.
I had missed the difference between the other Wish Protect set.
There's another one?
Well, no, just the one that you were talking about.
Oh, yeah, like yeah.
The Smogon Wish Protect.
It's just I don't know. I might run the one on Smogon and not the one that we found.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what we're outspeeding. Honestly, that might have been the suggested set on Smogon when this team was built. I'll be completely honest. Because some of them switch around a lot.
Yeah. And then finally we've got Decidueye with a Colbert Berry. Ability Long Reach, 248 HP, 100 defense, 64 speed, and 96 speed.
Those are very specific defense as well. I wish I would have looked this up.
Calm Nature, Leaf Storm, U-Turn, Roost, and Defog.
It sounds like just like a bulkier... Oh, actually, that's pretty standard for like defensive Decidueye,
yeah.
Turns out. So what is it? It's 96 speed is a little bit faster than what they run now, but they do run the 248 HP, which is probably just a hidden HP number, so for Toxic and Stealth Rock and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then 100 defense is still run, and the 100 defense... I don't even see it anymore. But yeah, it allows it to take two knockoffs from a Passimian.
Ah, the scary Passimians.
Honestly, you're not wrong, though. Like, it also can survive a pursuit from Sneasel.
Nice.
So that's fun. But yeah, that's the team. If you want that shiny Passimian, go to patreon.com/bucklepodcast, and you'll get it when Thatch comes back from Japan and tells you about Kit Kat flavors.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to be like, sweet potatoes kind of good, but wasabi's better.
Oh, man. What?
Yeah.
This is craziness.
I know. I would be lying if I said my plan wasn't to bring back like 10 pounds of Kit Kats. Yep, that's what Thatch is going to Japan for, Kit Kats. My wife also says, heck yeah. All right, moving on. That is it for the Pokemon of the episode. We are going to switch gears, though, guys, and we're going to kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag! Send in your emails.
You Puckle's mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the energy drink Green Taurus, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
I would also like to make clear it's not a real energy drink. Please stop asking. All right. So this is the part of the show where we read listener emails and we talk about it. We give you our feedback and then we tell you that your abilities that are just different versions of, I forget what it is that 10 little men called, of something. Are bad.
Moldbreaker, I don't know.
It wasn't Moldbreaker. He had a very specific one. And he said that they're not bad and we should feel bad for thinking they're bad. And you know what? He's probably right. But welcome to our show. Last week we asked you guys what you thought about the anime. And this week we're going to ask you what you think about... Honestly, maybe we should focus on one of the things that we talked about today. But maybe how do you feel about Experience Share always being on? How does that make you feel?
How well did you enjoy that nice little forest excursion that we're going to do?
I don't want to ask that because like there's going to be something that's like crazy that happens in it. And I don't want to ask that because it'll just be like, oh my God, for like three emails. And we're going to get those even if we don't ask about it. Like, all right. But last week we asked you guys what you thought about the anime and what direction it's going. And our first email is from Alex. And he says, anime looks promising. And that's the email. Because Seth said four words or less, and he did it. But yeah, our next email is from 10 Little Men, and he doesn't answer the mailbag question. So no Green Taurus badge for you, my friend.
I think he's answering the week before.
He is.
All right. Here we go. Howdy, Puckle Peeps. Long time no write. 10 Little Men has returned to answer last week's mailbag question since I don't really watch the anime, and I already had this half-finished in drafts. If the listeners remember some of my older mailbags, / know me from the Discord, then they may know that I have a deep passion for buffing old Pokemon. # justice for Dustox. So I'd like to elaborate on my thoughts here. Personally, I don't deeply care about hypothetical new evolutions and forms for old Pokemon as a means of balancing them. My favorite Pokemon is Magneton, not Magnezone after all. Sirfetch'd and Obstagoon are awesome Pokemon in their own rights, but they don't make Linoone or Chiding any better. However, Eviolite is a beautiful item that exists, so here are a few Pokemon that I would love to see get new evolutions. First is Dunsparce, because they deserve it and could actually have a niche in PU with Eviolite and Coil plus Roost. I also think a ton of the fossil Pokemon would healthily benefit from the ability to utilize Eviolite. Armaldo, Aurorus, Bastiodon, and Cratily immediately come to mind for me. Really, all the defensive fossils kind of suck because rock is a hilariously bad defensive typing. To evolve all the fossils, Game Freak could lean into the fan theory that the rock type of the fossils is due to their resurrection. They could do a Scyther to Scissors style evolution where they drop the rock types and rearrange the base stats when you fully defossilize the Pokemon. It's a bit too fan service for my taste, but I never claimed to be an expert writer. P.S. Please nerf Knockoff. That attack was already too strong before they killed Megas and Z-Crystals. 10 Darwinian flip-flops, 10 little men, faded into history.
So what I think you can do, if you're going to give Galarian evolutions to, or just Galarian forms to like the old fossil lines, what you do is, this is a line that never actually went extinct, and like they just found like a group of them, like in Galar. I think that's how you handle that. Well, yeah, I think that's how you handle it, right? Like,
that would work.
I think the idea could be similar to something like the Loch Ness Monster, right? Where people are just like, oh, it's just a plesiosaur. And it definitely isn't, but that's fine. But you could have some kind of thought like that. Granted, we also have Lapras, which is legitimately just a Loch Ness Monster. And it's fine. I would love just to see. Honestly, we semi, like, the leak that has gotten everything right thus far says Lapras is in this game. So I wouldn't be surprised if they actually leaned into that with Lapras, which would be really, really fun. But next up is the British gent, the most British of gents. And Basket, you got this one.
Oh, I do. All right, dear Thatch, Sigma, and Basket. Once again, I feel like the Pokemon community has had a week of some high hopes and then some lower moments. But I'm sure you have spoken about this already. Luckily for me, my ticket to Galar has not been canceled, and I'm starting to pack my bags for travels next month.
That's true. It is like next month. That's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
It'll be a month away when you get back.
Wow.
Hopefully you pick up some eShop cards for yourself while you're over there.
I might do it for myself and a couple other people who ask. But we can talk about that later. I will have an internet connection. Please don't ping me on Discord, by the way. If you ping me on Discord after this episode while I am still in Japan, I will ban you on Discord. I'm just throwing that out there. Like, I'm not kidding either. You will receive a 24-hour ban. So I'm just throwing that out there. One, this is going to test the people who listen to the end of the show. And two, it's going to see how many people are willing to test my patience. Like, this is not like a fake threat.
I'm in support.
I'm on vacation. If you're pinging me just so you can ask me what my favorite color is, I'm going to ban you.
All right, back to the letter. As I'm writing this before Friday, some of my questions might have been answered or not. But I do hope that we get at least some news of some new Pokemon before next month's release, if I'm honest. Regarding last week's mailbag, Sirfetch'd to me is one of those Pokemon I will find and just have in my living dex. It may look great, but I'm not sure it will be on my team my first run of the game. I am really looking forward to more Galarian forms, though. Fingers crossed for more Pokemon outside of Gen 1. Regarding the news from the interview by Game Informer, I'm really glad to hear that, if we are understanding from what everything was said, that natures will be able to be changed in the game. I honestly don't have enough time to always breed the perfect Pokemon. The team I take through my game, I can use again and again now, if the team works well for battling, of course. This makes it so much easier for newer players to be able to enter into the competitive play. It also takes away the more use of people wanting needing to hack Pokemon into the game as well. Though if anything is going to go by, like the new bottle caps in Sun and Moon, we will more than likely have to raise them to level 100. Saying that, though, with the now experience share item being taken away, this might be easier to do. But then again, this does bring in the issue of overleveling your Pokemon in game. The chances are you've spoken about this in the topic, so I won't get you to repeat it all. The news about the 18 gyms, I was a little disappointed, but then again, as it was said online by Joe from Serebii, we should research what has already been said regarding information given out. I am looking forward to how the minor and major leagues will work, though. Do you think we could have a Pokemon game where the gyms change in-game, beat all the gyms in the minor league, and move up to the major league?
No.
we've already. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not.
Well, he said this 2 hours ago, so he must have known the news, right?
Yeah, that's why he was talking about Joe's tweet.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the minor and major league were just like references they were using as in-game lore. Or it's their explanation for it. And you're still going to only have HM leaders available to battle in-game. Like, I want to make that clear. But yeah, continue.
This league, you have to go back and revisit the same gyms, but these gyms now have higher leveled, better stats, better EVs, IVs than before, but some gyms have changed. Someone that specializes in a different type challenged the gym leader and took over. What are your thoughts on typing changes in a Pokemon game? Would it work? Would it be worth it? Should you re-challenge a gym? I think if it was like there was a rotating sort of like thing, I think that could be fun. Like post-game, they start rotating.
I don't think that'll happen, though.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen. I was just saying that I think it's a fun idea.
I think the daily gym challenges in Let's Go is fine.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more like they do it in Arc, like how they've always done gym leader re-challenges. They do in Let's Go and how they did in like Heart Gold Soul Silver. I think that would be fun.
Let's Go did it better than Heart Gold Soul Silver.
How so?
Where you had to call them on the specific day to get them to show up to the place where you could battle them, and then you had to wait an entire week.
So to be fair though, I think this is just talking about me as a person. I am a sucker for that kind of stuff though. Like that was to me, that was what like Gold and Silver were all about. We're just like the constant like, oh, is it the right day? Type thing.
Is it the right day and the right time?
Yeah.
Call Falkter up to say, hey, I want to battle you and your Pidgeot.
Yeah. Honestly, that's what those games were about to me. And I really appreciate that mechanic. And I'm probably in the vast minority. I'm going to be completely honest.
I suspect we're going to end up rebattling gym leaders in these
games. Oh, yeah. It's going to be more like Let's Go. Because it's just like, yeah,
NASA has the Dreadnought. We know there's a Gigantamax Dreadnought. And I don't think she's going to have it in your first challenge.
No. I mean, she didn't have it in like the demo. But granted, the demo is probably not final product either.
Like, I could see a rebattle later with her having a Gigantamax one.
I do want to take an aside and say I do really appreciate the way that Game Freak has been handling like this reveal cycle. Just because I think it's done so well. One, they had a demo, but they didn't put on the eShop because they didn't want people to data mine it. But
they almost cleaned the last one.
Yeah, but to be fair, like they've done such a good job making it available to a ton of people to be able to play it.
Oh yeah,
they've done such a good job, and I think it makes it that much more of an experience. And on top of that, I think they're just knocking it out of the park on this release cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Minus the whole national deck snafu, like where they kind of like snuck it in very sneaky, like.
Yeah, that was dirty.
It's still kind of dirty and it's kind of bad and nasty, but I'm not gonna harp on that.
Yeah, move on.
Yeah, moving on.
I mean, yeah, I don't need to see like the Route 1 road, and I'll see that like the first thing in the game.
Yeah, no, I love that they're not showing all the Pokemon. Isn't that great? I love that.
I'd like to see a few more than we've seen, but I'm okay with not seeing things like the Route 1 Rodent, the Route 1
Bird. I think next week we'll probably get a direct where it'll show the starter evolutions, or if not next week, very soon. Just the stage one.
Could be in the forest trailer, who knows?
It could be in the forest, honestly, and by the time this comes out, you'll all know about it and you'll be very happy.
That would be pretty crazy if they were able to like keep the decks quiet.
Yeah, I think they've done a very good job of it so far.
Yeah.
It's going to be not until like 3 days before release when the game like leaks.
We know like 20 Pokemon in the game.
Yeah.
It's
cool.
That's where we're at.
This is great. I'm a fan. I'm really a fan. It also, again, leans into that whole like they showed Sirfetch without showing Galarian Farfetch'd. Like, come on, guys. They're doing such a good job. I am almost convinced that Galarian Farfetch'd exists.
They could be clearer with some things.
I thought that was the oddest one out of the bunch, to be fair, because I'm almost certain Galarian Farfetch'd exist. Like,
that was the one thing that wasn't too overly showy with Sun and Moon. It's like, hey, here's an execute. It's
yeah,
evolving.
That's what they should show you.
Am I wrong in thinking that like a pre-evolution was not like did not like wasn't Alolan?
What do you mean?
It still evolved into
an so it evolved into an Alolan form of an already existing Pokemon. That's the difference. Right. So Sirfetch'd is not an already existing Pokemon.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. And yeah. So like Obstagoon exists because the Galarian Linoon realized they had to evolve further. And so Farfetch'd, so they use the same exact language on the Pokemon.com website to describe how Farfetch'd evolve into Sirfetch'd as a Galarian Linoon evolve into Obstagoon.
Yeah, the Farfetch'd of Galar.
Yeah, they call them of Galar or something like that. So they are really leaning into, so it's definitely a Galarian Far, like I am almost certain it's a Galarian Farfetch'd. And everybody's freaking out that it's a regular Farfetch'd that's going to evolve into this thing. I think people are going to be disappointed when there's just like a fighting type Farfetch'd in this game.
Wears a black belt on its.
Yeah, that would be super cool. I'd be into that, actually. Like, I imagine him wearing like the Karate Kid headband.
Right.
the little sunburst.
Yeah, I imagine him wearing the Karate Kid headband, and he's just like, and then every time you battle him, his cry is just the best around song from the Karate Kid. He walks in and it's just like, you're the best around. And then you battle. I think that's the way it needs to go.
It's protect animation. It's wax on.
Oh my gosh. That would be fantastic. If that happened, my belief that they couldn't finish all of the models has been quenched, because like that makes it worth it for me. It's not going to happen. I'm building myself up for Galarian Farfetch'd, but it's not going to happen in that way. But I think people are, I think that reveal has, I don't know, it's going to make, I don't want to say it's going to give me like a smug moment where when Galarian Farfetch'd is like a revealed to be a thing that I go, I was right. Nobody listened to me, moments, but that's exactly what it's going to do for me. It's going to create one of those moments.
I really hope that Galarian Farfetch'd, shiny form looks better than its regular form.
I think anything they do to Farfetch'd will do that. It'll accomplish it. But I digress. Let's finish this email.
Oh, we're still doing that?
Yeah. You still got a
You still have one paragraph left. It's a long one.
We are now roughly 1 month away till the games are released. I'm getting really hyped for these games now as the little bit of information slowly comes out. I am happy we don't know everything that will take place in the game. I'm really hoping Pokemon keeps up with how much information they are giving out, as this makes me want to play the game more so I can find out what is in there. It makes me want to explore the game more and find those little hidden bits, like the lore of the GS Ball in Sun and Moon. Talking to others in Discord about if they have found this or that was fun when Sun and Moon first came out. This time round, I feel like there's going to be twice as much to talk about, and I'm looking forward to it all. Anyways, my cup is now empty, and I'm ready for a refill of tea. Till next time, the British Gent.
Yay.
It takes half an hour to drink one cup of tea.
Yeah. All right. So that is it for the mailbag. If you want to email us next week, let us know what you think of all this Game Informer stuff. It's crazy. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say. I will not read any of those emails, I'll read them, but I won't be on the show to read them. So I'm excited to see what everybody's thoughts are on everything that's going on recently. If you want to keep up with Puckle, great ways to do that. First, go to Puckle Plus, listen to all those cool extra shows like TCG Cast. And then go ahead and, I don't know, what else is there to do? You could go follow us on social media like Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, Instagram, all great places. You can come to our Discord, chat with us. If you want to see some cool video content, we've got a YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast. If you want to watch some of that content live, you can go to twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast and watch me stream Nuzlocke's battles. Jushiro plays the TCG. I think he's playing Let's Go right now, actually. He's been having fun with that. And we're going to be streaming Swish as soon as it comes out. So we are all very, very excited for that. And then I think the final thing that we always do is, if you want to help support the show, one, a great way to do that is to go to Twitch, give us your free Prime subscription membership if you haven't done that already. If you get one free subscription every month with Twitch Prime, if you have Amazon Prime. So if you're already paying for that to get that sweet, faster delivery, you can help out Puckle and by tossing a couple bucks our way. You can also go to TeePublic at teepublic.com/PucklStore, I think it is. I don't know. The link's in the show notes. You can get some cool Pokemon t-shirts. We just put up some new stuff like Team Grookey and stuff like that, where you can represent your own team, as well as some cool Generation 8 art that we found online. That's a great place. It's a great way to support the show and get something out of it as well. If you want to get shiny Pokemon, I think the badge run is over for right now. I think we're going to be switching to Puckle TCG cards for a couple months before we go back to badges. You can go over to patreon.com/PucklePodcast. You can also be on the Puckle live show, which is also a blast. I love doing that with you guys, actually. It is one of my favorite things to be able to sit and chat with patrons for like an hour and a half, and just talk about Pokemon and life. I think the last one we talked more about life than anything else, but
it's just a blast to be able to sit down and talk to you guys about that stuff. But yeah, great way to do that. Go over to patreon.com/pucklepodcast. But I guess here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower on this Thursday evening, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been R. Sigma.
And I've been Basket.
And here it is, closing time. See you in a week and a half. As always, we here at Puckle would like to thank our patrons for helping support the show and waiting very patiently for the rewards, because the badges will be on their way later this week. I'm going to send out everything, even if you're not, but I'm going to be doing the, what's it called? The August, September, and October rewards are all going out at the same time. You're going to get 3 badges in your next bundle. So hopefully you will stay true and you will still patron us next month as well. and then we're going to have to come up with new prizes for you guys, because I don't know what we're going to do after October. So we're going to go ahead and do that. But let's thank all of our patrons. Thank you to Greg, Viger, Duly Noted, Rob, Josh, Alex, Keegan, Ilaria, OG Paladin, Sean, Michael, Paul, Dexio, Chris, Jin, Miguel, Apollo, Corey, Rotted Mushroom, Mr. Panda, Titan Killer, Lane, Lord Korbnik, Ryan, Seth Vilo, Wade, Marcus, King Kavik, Enharmonia, Alolan Dergs, Tank, Claude9, Bodtech, Chris, Swampertata, Joseph, Christopher, Joshua, Zane, Doc McStuffles, Cody, The Golden Klefki, The British Gent, Trevor, Mark, TJ, Ryan, Doc Knox, Dennis, Echo, Jonathan, Disco Calypso, Taylor, Charles, Allegiori, there we go, Maxi, Shambles, Justin, Tim, Andrew, Old Man Tup, Zephyr, David, Chris, Jeremy, Louise, Justin, South, Locke, Jordan, Zach, Graham, Greg, Alec, Jegler, Mikey, Kevin, Josh, Dark Flame, Zarni, Halfful Reviews, Sparky, Coop, Jordan, Huitku, Shira, Smacky the Frog, Ironcaster, Kevin, Orange Avenger, Steve, Anime Gravy, Hazelnut, Dylan, Joseph, Franco, Treby, Cordell, and Julia. Thank you to all of you. You make the world go round here at Puckle, and we really appreciate. Look out for those rewards coming here in the near future. Also, live show. I think we're going to plan for something this Friday, the 13th, so watch out for that on Patreon. We're going to see if we can get a live show going. All right, guys, thanks a lot, and I hope to catch you all on the flip-flop.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.